everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. And together, a big hearty welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We are off and running now on a new week. It is Monday, September the 25th, 2023. And to all of our Jewish friends, a blessed Yom Kippur. It's going to be a very hot day. I thought the 100-degree temperatures were behind us in the rearview mirror, but still have a couple of more days to endure over 100. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, where it is thankfully nice and cool and air-conditioned. 1030 KVOI is our radio station, Tucson's trusted source for live local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and where we piggyback our live feed from kvoi.com when we do our telephone interviews. 790-2040 is our live line, and that is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our Monday one-on-one interview series presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and the family specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. They've got some beautiful photography from Moe at the gallery. Picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. That means Moe will come out to your home, make sure everything's up on the wall the way you want it. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, they are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and their website is moesgallery.com. This week's one-on-one interview with University of Arizona Regents Professor Dr. Marcia Rieke. Dr. Rieke serves as the principal investigator of the Near Infrared Camera, or NIRCam, on the $10 billion infrared observatory known as the James Webb Space Telescope, which in the past 14 months has revealed the atmospheric composition of faraway planets and captured the most distinct distant galaxies and supermassive black holes. These amazing images, just really, it's almost too hard to believe that when you see them, you think it can't be. Dr. Rieke's husband, fellow UA Regents Professor George Rieke, helped design the telescope's second major instrument, the mid-infrared instrument, or MIRI. Dr. Rieke, how are you?
I'm great. I'm happy to be around on a nice Monday.
Yeah, and what a day to have you on, because before we talk about an update on the Webb telescope, your colleagues, space scientists, are still celebrating today at the University of Arizona the successful sample delivery from OSIRIS-REx. That was a project, a mission, really still underway, but this portion led by the University of Arizona launched in 2016, traveled over 4 billion miles before returning home to the desert up in Utah with an incredible sample, a piece of an asteroid that has been delivered now to Earth, and now it will be to the laboratory. First of all, some of your thoughts on the OSIRIS-REx program.
Oh, it has taken a very long time to finally get this material back, and I'm pretty certain that my colleagues in the Planetary Sciences Department across the street are absolutely ecstatic, and the rest of us are going to be very interested to see what kinds of chemical compositions and fingerprints they find in those rocks, because that'll tell us something about the early solar system.
Yeah, that'd be the big key, I guess, what the early solar system, the material that the early solar system was made up of. Let's talk about the Webb. The Webb telescope. Tell us what the latest is before we talk a little bit about the history of it.
Oh, the data have just been rolling in and rolling in and rolling in. And we, too, are into the looking at molecules and trying to understand what might be going on in the early universe. So one thing is that some of my colleagues have been studying the atmospheres of planets orbiting other stars, and the inventory of molecules that have been detected now is really starting to grow. And there have been some surprises, like no one thought that we would discover or see sulfur dioxide in an exoplanet atmosphere, yet we did. And it's very intriguing that already, with only a few stars observed, we're starting to see some more good stuff like sulfur showing up in the molecular inventory.
Could you tell us a little bit about why that is important?
Well, it's important because we would like to eventually find an exoplanet that's like Earth. And before we go and spend, hundreds of hours with Webb, we want to make certain that we have the technique working right. So we're using it on somewhat brighter targets. And the other thing is that it would be very interesting to see what kinds of architectures of other solar systems exist. And are all the planets in one of these exosolar systems similar? Do they vary a lot from one to the next like they do here in our solar system? And that'll give us insights into how our own solar system has come to be.
Could you explain what the exoplanets are? That would help our listeners.
Ah, indeed. So, we live in our own solar system, and there are 8 or 9, depending on whether you like Pluto to be a planet, planets that orbit the sun. Now, when we go out into space and look at other stars, we've discovered that many other stars also have planets orbiting them. And we tend to call those exoplanets, meaning not a planet in the solar system, but a planet orbiting a more distant star.
And how many of these do you think there are?
Well, this is a matter of some debate, but the estimates range to at least one exoplanet per star to maybe even more. So there are a lot of planets out there in the rest of the Milky Way.
Let's go back and talk a little bit about the whole project, the Webb project. How soon after the launch were you able to, when did you see the first images?
We saw the first images in we started getting light onto the detectors in early February. But those images were really just engineering because we had not aligned the 18 segments of the telescope mirror yet. So that if you pointed at a star, you might see it 18 times, which that's okay for getting organized, but we had to stack them up and have it act like a single smooth mirror.
But then when you saw the first images, which were the ones that really blew you away?
Well, once we got the telescope lined up, the very first long exposure that we took after getting it aligned, there were so many galaxies in the background. That's when we knew. And the main alignment star that was the rationale for taking the picture in the first place, they were just perfect. And we knew then that we had something just super exciting.
And so much work that you had put into this, you and your husband, and the work that really began. Why don't we pause right here, and then when we come back after the break, I want to hear about what were the origins of this whole project? I'm curious about that. Professor Rieke, stay with us. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with you momentarily. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. I want to tell our listeners about our favorite bakery in town. That is Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Everybody loves the Kringle. It's a lovely pastry. And not only the Kringle, but all of their incredible variety of European-style breads and pastries. They are open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday. Doors open at 6:30. Their website, monasdanishbakery.com, to further tempt you with all those beautiful pictures of everything on the menu. And of course, Green Things, we are in the Green Things studios. Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. 13-acre site has everything you need for your garden. GreenThingsAZ.com and Zocalo Village, their sister business. Some of that Talavera pottery is so beautiful. All right. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We continue now with our conversation with our Monday one-on-one guest, Dr. Marcia Rieke. We are talking about the James Webb Telescope, which is orbiting around the sun about 1 million miles from Earth. The Webb is the largest and most powerful astronomical observatory ever sent into space. Dr. Rieke, after this first 14 months, is this a... Is the success of this more than you could ever have dreamed of?
Absolutely, because the telescope is working better than any of the engineers projected. The image quality is just mind-blowing beautiful. And so we're able to do things faster than we had thought. I had never in my wildest dream thought that this telescope would work this well.
What surprised you the most so far?
The thing that has surprised me the most is how easy it was to find these very, very distant galaxies, which are due to the how long it takes the light to travel to us, the very youngest galaxies that we can see. And there had been predictions based on Hubble Space Telescope data that we might not find very many of these, that maybe galaxies just hadn't had enough time to form stars since the Big Bang. And yet we found them, I don't want to quite say hand over fist, but our first images had some, and we were able to identify them and prove that they're indeed that distant. And in the first few months, we had already achieved one of our key goals, and I had thought it might take us a couple of years.
When you think about the nearest star-forming region to Earth, it's just really mind-boggling, isn't it? We're talking, if I've got my figures right, roughly 390 light years away. Is that correct?
Yeah, depending on exactly which one you pick and how very young a star you want. But yes, there aren't any stars being formed nearby, and so you have to look a little ways away to find some.
So why infrared that you and your husband, George, why what makes the infrared camera and the mid-infrared instrument that George designed, explain to our listeners what makes that so special?
Okay, so a variety of objects out in space have different temperatures, and so they give off different amounts of visible light versus infrared light. And on top of that, the expansion of the universe means that distant things, very distant galaxies, their light gets shifted to the red. And the most distant, it gets shifted so far, you have to look in the infrared, which is one of the arguments for why Webb was built in the first place, that Hubble just couldn't do the job because it doesn't have enough infrared capability. So there's all that. And then if you want to study planets around other stars, they emit most of their light in the infrared. If you want to penetrate through the dust in the star-forming regions, that's best done at the infrared wavelengths. So there's a whole host of reasons to want a big infrared telescope.
When did you and your husband first kind of put this design into motion? How long ago was that?
Well, we wrote proposals back in 2001. Wow. To be the people selected to do these jobs. So it was a while ago.
And what did the proposals, how do you even go about building something like this? I mean, what was that process like?
Well, both George and I, we worked together and got a lot of practice building instruments to go on the telescopes locally here in Tucson, our ground-based telescopes. And so once you understand what kind of telescope you're building the instrument for, what size and so on, and what do you want to do, what kinds of things do you want to detect, for a space mission, there are some other constraints, such as, rockets can't lift arbitrarily large amounts of weight. So there was a number of parameters that were told to us that the instrument couldn't weigh any more than such and such and so on. So we had kind of a set of parameters. We had science goals, and we had a general outline of the telescope. And from that, you go and the first thing you do is you talk to your optics friends about what kinds of optical layout, and then you talk to your mechanical engineering friends about what kind of structure you need. You talk to your friends that know about electrical things and that would control the filter wheels and so on. So you build up a team, and the team does all of the specialized design work.
So where do we go from here? What's the life expectancy of the James Webb telescope?
It's a very interesting story. The launch was so perfect that we didn't use much fuel on getting to L2. And so the station-keeping fuel will last a long time, and it looks like will last for maybe 25 years total.
L2, you mentioned to get to L2. Explain what that is.
L2 is the spot where Webb is orbiting the sun and where it's this million miles away from Earth. And it's a special place because the Earth and Webb go around the sun in tandem, so it makes sending the data back to Earth very convenient.
How often can you do observing time? I understand it's kind of split up, right? University of Arizona, I think, has kind of the bulk of the observing time. Is that correct?
Not really the bulk, but we have one of the biggest single chunks. But there are so many groups that have time. Although we have the single largest chunk, it's still only about, 15% of the total time.
And now I guess Hubble and Webb are going to get some competition. What can you tell us about the Euclid telescope that was launched over in Europe? They're trying to create a cosmic map spanning space and time. Can you tell us a little bit about the Euclid?
I can. And the U.S. will have a similar mission launching another 3-4 years from now. But Euclid has a collection of mostly visible light detectors. It has some infrared detectors. And, you know, Webb points at a particular point on the sky and exposes for a very long time looking for the faintest, most distant things. Euclid, on the other hand, is going to map the entire sky. Mm. So it scans the sky and records the brightnesses of all the things that it passes over. So it doesn't detect things as faint as Webb, but it will have data on everything that's above a certain brightness. And Webb is not good for searching for rare objects because you have to know to point in that direction. But Euclid will have the sky survey and will be able to sift through the data and figure out where there might be a supermassive black hole that we didn't know about before or whatever it might be.
We're speaking with University of Arizona Regents Professor Dr. Marcia Rieke, the principal investigator of the near-infrared camera known as the NIRCam on the $10 billion infrared observatory known as the James Webb Space Telescope. So how deep, Dr. Rieke, have we gone so far, and how much further is there to go into deep space?
We've gotten to within 320 million years of the Big Bang.
Jeez.
And wow. I'm expecting that we may still be able to peel maybe another 50 million years off that, something like that. We'll have to see. Depends on Mother Nature.
How so with Mother Nature?
Well, the galaxy has to have formed if we're going to see it. So part of the question is, when did the first galaxies form? And I'm hoping we'll be able to discern that. And it, you know, if the first galaxies formed almost instantly after the Big Bang, they may be just too far away and faint for us to get. But if they took 100 million years or so to form, then we should be able to see them.
This is a question that I'm sure a lot of listeners are asking. What are the chances of an Earth-like kind of situation like we have here? Mm-hmm. We're talking about this vastness of space. What are the chances of a duplication, something very similar to Earth, Dr. Rieke?
You know, everyone thinks that must be must exist somewhere within the Milky Way galaxy. And the trick is going to be, is it in a situation that's at least close enough nearby that we can gather data to prove that it is an Earth-like twin? And this is definitely one of the holy grails in astronomy right now, that everyone is, not everyone, but almost everyone is persuaded that such a doppelganger of Earth must exist somewhere, but whether we can find it is another question.
Do you think it does?
I think it probably does.
Okay, we'll leave it right there. Dr. Rieke, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Dr. Marcia Rieke is with us and has been our guest on the Monday One-on-One, University of Arizona Regents Professor. Boy, Dr. Rieke, what an incredible bright light with her and her husband, who have done so much work to make the James Webb Space Telescope possible. Our Monday One-on-One is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Check out Moe. They are located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Their website is moesgallery.com. We'll have our monthly Better Business Bureau Consumer Alert. That's coming up right after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up.
With science.
You mean you don't use a shoe?
No, we use the latest in technology and innovation to eliminate termites, bugs, weeds, especially now during termite season.
No spray cans and lighters?
Nope, only termite solutions that target insect biology, using chemistry to help protect the environment, people, and their pets.
Huh, Essential Pest Control leaves bugs belly up. Call 886-3029 or visit EssentialPest.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing is Zocalo Village Studio. Well, the Better Business Bureau and the Internal Revenue Service are warning businesses about scams revolving around the Employee Retention Credit. The IRS is ordering a stop to new ERCs processing due to questionable claims, concerns from tax professionals, and aggressive marketing to ineligible applicants. The moratorium will last until the end of 2023 to protect small businesses from potential scams. Joining us, Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the BBB, serving Southern Arizona. Good to see you, Irene.
Hello,
always a pleasure.
Hello.
And Denise Alvarez is with us. Denise, Director of Operations. You guys are going to share some really important information. Denise, good to see you.
Hi, good to see you.
So what do businesses need to know? This is pretty important stuff.
Absolutely. So the ERC credit, we received notification from the IRS about a week and a half ago stating that they're putting a moratorium on the processing, on the payments of the payments. So basically, what businesses need to know is that they will be doing this at a slower pace. Any existing ERC claims will go from a standard processing of 90 to 100 days to quite a bit longer. You know, they're just reviewing all of the claims that are coming across, potential audits, unfortunately, some criminal activity because of the claims that some businesses have made.
Let's talk to Denise about the message to business owners, because we've got what, con artists, here we go again, trying to do trick people.
Right. So it's actually, it works two ways. So they contact a business, reach out and let them know, hey, you're due some money from the IRS, from the government. Here's the application process. Looked at your website. Looks like you qualify. If they ask you for a fee up front, that's a red flag. Don't pay any money to try to get any more money. But also don't give any personal information to the caller, because they can also take your identity, you know, and then that's when identity theft comes into place. And so you want to make sure that you're asking the right questions and contacting your professional accountant to make sure that you do qualify. And if you don't, that you understand why you don't.
Are they, are these con artists then contacting businesses over the telephone? Or are they doing it on the email, or how is it working?
Yes. Yeah, so actually you can either see an ad online. We've seen plenty of them. There's a lot of commercials on the radio that claim that, you know, again, that they still owe you money, that you may qualify for that employee retention credit, and to contact them. We've seen postcards, we've seen emails and phone calls from these scammers trying to get businesses to provide them with the information that they need to either steal their identity or submit a claim on their behalf. And that's when sometimes they get into trouble, because that's why the IRS needs to review it completely.
Yeah, and Irene, anytime, they're always fishing, it seems like. They want really the gold standard. They want the Social Security number, right? And then they'd love to have your employer identification number, known as the EIN.
Absolutely. So, again, as Denise mentioned, it's so important to not give out your information and keep your ears out for those catchy phrases, because there's a lot of money on the line. You know, we're talking about potentially $26,000 per employee. So, you know, they want to catch people's eyes and say, you know what, I can guarantee you, you're going to get six figures back. And so just with that guarantee alone, they don't know your numbers. So why are they giving you guarantees? So again, you know, that's a huge, huge red flag about that.
Denise, give us some more tips on how to avoid the tax credit scams.
The big one Irene mentioned, you know, don't believe anything that they're guaranteeing. You might not qualify for any of the tax credit. You know, think twice about the promises that they're making, especially if they're saying six figures. And a lot of them say, hey, there's a deposit that you need to pay before we start the paperwork. You know, again, don't pay anything before any work is done. And even after it's done, you still want to make sure that you have a professional review it, because you're not, you know, you're not 100% sure whether or not you actually qualify for those credits. They made so many changes to them. I think we met with a tax professional, and they were mentioning that there's over 200 pages of amendments and changes that they've made. And so that's why it becomes so complicated. A lot of people obviously haven't read the 200 pages, and you think you might qualify under one standard, but you might not under another. So definitely do your research before you give any information out or make any payments to anybody claiming that they can get you additional tax credits.
And it's not just the ERC. Some of these other tax credits, ladies, are very, very complicated, correct?
Absolutely. That's why it's important to seek a tax professional. Definitely go onto our website, bbbsot.org, and take a look at our accredited tax professionals.
And then what about just even checking the website, Denise, the IRS.gov, and see what they lay out as employers, how are they, if they're even eligible?
Correct, yes. Yeah. So if you visit IRS.gov, you can find the rules for the tax credits there. And then you can also contact a professional there. It takes a little bit longer to wait on the phone or get an email back, but you definitely want to do your homework before you give out any of that information.
Always look for businesses that follow the BBB accreditation standard. That's a very good standard to go by, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like I mentioned, we have met with the representative from the IRS, and this is an important topic. So be on the lookout. We'll be probably doing some workshops together with the IRS.
Anything else, Denise, that we should know about? I guess a good place to go, again, we always point people back to the BBB.org, and you have a special area there. It's BBB.org/get-accredited.
Yes, that'll provide you information if you are interested in BBB accreditation, if you're a small business. And then there's also the scam tracker. You can look up any scams that have been reported in your area by zip code. And so BBB.org, it's a one-stop shop for everything, complaints, customer review. So before you hire a company or move forward with a contract, please be sure to visit BBB.org, because that information is coming from consumers that have those experiences with the businesses, not from us directly. So definitely check out BBB.org.
Last month we talked, Irene, with you guys about the event that you had planned. Well, the event was last week. How did it go? And you brought in a speaker, and what was the message from the speaker?
Yes, absolutely. Last Wednesday, we had our inaugural event, the BBB Spark Leadership Summit, held at the Casino del Sol, and we brought in four speakers, actually.
Wow.
Yes, so our speakers, we started off with Nancy Lyons, How to Kick Fear in the Face. We continued with number one top seller author Brandy Ferrere, Chris Hayes and Molina, and then we finished off with Dr. Paul Melendez from the U of A. And their message was all about leadership, communication skills. Also, Michael Tucker talked about psychological safety and the bias in the workplace and just in professional life and those cues, what to look out for. So Southern Arizona welcomed this event in a grand way. We had practically 300 attendees with over 30 expo vendors. So for our first event, we had a knockout.
Sounds like it went very well.
Yes.
And that message is very, very important. Kick fear in the face,
there
right?
There you go, yep.
How about you know, and that was a good networking experience, right? You guys had a lot of people were networking at this event, but you've got monthly networkers, right, Denise?
Yes, so we have our monthly networking mixer coming up on September 28th. They're the fourth Thursday of every month. The next one is at the Delta. It's from 5 to 7, and it's open to all businesses. It's a free event, so please come join us.
All right, BBB.org, lots of great information, including the scam tracker, and you can find out about how to get accredited. You can find out more about the current scams that are going around and some very important information about this scam that has to do with the IRS and important stuff. Irene and Denise, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take a break right here. Buckmaster on a Monday. Be right back.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Only about a five-hour drive. Five? What am I talking about? I just tacked on two extra hours. It's only a three-hour drive approximately east of Tucson, and lots to do, especially this time of year, early autumn, great hiking weather in the Gila National Wilderness, and it will be cooler, I guarantee, than Tucson, Arizona, because Silver City is at about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, and that makes, especially this time of year, for very pleasant, warm days and cool nights. Let's welcome back to the show. He's on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and Director of the Planetary Science Institute. which for more than a half century has been a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes, how are you?
Oh, great. Great, Bill. I'm calling from Oregon, and where it's cloudy, rainy in the 60s, and for me, that's perfect weather.
Oh, perfect. Love it. Yeah, wish I was there. Anyway, the capsule that landed in the Utah's western desert Sunday morning that was filled with rocks and dust from the asteroid Bennu came to, really, it ended the University of Arizona-led OSIRIS-REx space mission, reaching a dramatic and flawless conclusion. So what's the takeaway from the OSIRIS-REx mission, Dr. Sykes?
Well, it was a great success. It was an example of something being done right, and we're really going to benefit from it scientifically. Bennu was a very interesting target, being a quote primitive carbonaceous object. But things are more complex than that, of course, because when they got really close, you'd see these brighter things mixed in with it too. So it's there's a mixture of a bunch of stuff on there, and I expect that there will be samples of all of it that have been brought back, so that we can, you know, not just learn about more insights into the, you know, origin of the solar system and all that kind of stuff, but also the complex processes that go on with the evolution of the solar system, which also then feeds into our understanding about what could be going on around the thousands of other solar systems that we know about these days.
Yeah, it's not like you don't know a thing or two about asteroids. I mean, you've identified... In your career, your storied career, you've identified banks of interplanetary dust arising from asteroid collisions. So, I mean, for an asteroid guy, this is pretty exciting stuff.
Oh, it is great stuff. Yeah, no, it's wonderful that we've had, there's been three successful sample return missions from asteroids so far. The Japanese, you know, did two of them. And even with the first one that just brought back kind of a small amount of material, you know, dust type stuff, very valuable, you know, information testing our hypotheses. It's one thing to be looking, like I've done through telescopes at these points of light, you know, out there at the distance. Of course, I was on the Dawn mission too, but these points of light, so, you know, they're not just one uniform homogeneous thing. And when we actually go there and grab samples and come back, we learn so much more about, you know, how they formed and where the different pieces came from and what the conditions were and all that. So it's exciting stuff. Well, when you're somebody like me, but also for the public, because it's a great story about the history of where we live.
One of the things, and a lot of it might be clickbait, as some of the way the story has been portrayed and some of the media, it's about like the potentially hazardous near Earth asteroids that maybe this that maybe this mission can save us from maybe a big asteroid hitting Earth. That's kind of
If I had a dime for every one of those stories, I would never have to write a grant proposal again.
Well, there you go. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, you've seen it. That's the way some news media is portraying this story.
Oh, listen, it's not just the news media, the Earth lives. We're stuff is passing by the Earth all the time. You know, how many stories have we just read in the past year about, oh, this object passed only so many hundreds of thousands of miles away from the Earth? Yeah, I mean, we're in a pea soup of all kinds of garbage out there. That's why hopefully one day we'll launch the Neo Surveyor, which is another U of A mission to actually that's run by A.B. Meintzer. That is to go and look to, oh, well, see what's there, you know, before it comes here. So so there's that. But I'd say more important than that is the potential for asteroids as a resource to leverage our future activity in space so that we don't have to haul, you know, providing fuel, water, things like that, so we don't have to haul it up from the surface of the earth at $10,000 a pound.
Well, the NASA.
And so, but we don't have any plans that require that we do that. So yeah, I've been playing around with that since the 80s, and there's still nothing that requires that actually happen.
Okay, so we had a successful asteroid sample return. Not so successful, at least the planning continuing with the budget and schedule for NASA's Mars sample return.
You know, Bill, that's a scandal. It's just a scandal. This committee that comes to the conclusion that they don't have a plan, they don't have a budget, that the whole thing's in disarray. People in the community have known this for years. They know when they're first, pushing it forward. And the fact that NASA would go and harm other programs, cutting back funding for existing missions, delaying or perhaps soft canceling the Veritas mission to Venus, chopping back on what the New Horizons could do out in the outer solar system because for this program that has no credible budget, has no credible launch windows, or it is an abject failure of leadership that we would proceed with something like this that was so poorly put together.
That's
a scandal to me.
And this report by this in so-called independent review board says there is a near zero probability that the two main elements of the sample retrieval lander developed by NASA and an Earth return orbiter developed by the Europeans will be ready for launch nowhere near 2028, at least.
Well, they are being generous. Because they didn't say absolute zero.
No. No. Near zero. Okay.
But we've known that this is a three flagship missions. You got to go down, pick up the stuff, which we're doing. Then you got to take it up in Mars orbit, and then you got to bring it back to the Earth. And so flagships are typically easily $3 billion. And you multiply that by three, and you look at how much was budgeted at the outset, and it's like it didn't match up. And plus, we didn't even know how to do some of the stuff, had no plan for, how are we going to, lift the stuff up to Mars orbit before we started committing to going and picking up things on the surface. Because, one goes to the other, and if you don't have it all figured out, then there's going to be a problem. And this was, like I said, this has been predictable for years, and other programs have been harmed in the meantime, and that's a scandal.
And this was put this chair of this or I don't I think his name is Orlando Figueroa, former director of the Mars exploration at NASA. I don't even know how all that came about with this quote independent review board.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's independent and they're independent, but it just also shows you how bad it is when this board couldn't find a way out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah. All right.
So, but fortunately, it'd be something I think that Congress should step in and do something about, except they're in such disarray that, that's not going to happen.
No, we can't even decide on whether or not we'll keep the government open past this week.
Mm-hmm.
So there you
mm-hmm.
go. Mark, get back to enjoying the cool Oregon weather. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Dr. Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute, based right here in Tucson, psi.edu is their website. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Mark Sykes, our guest, and all the guests today, John engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster with you in about, let's see, we'll do it again in 23 hours. Until then, I hope everybody has a good afternoon.